There's Stevens and their son, or son-in-law. That's just south of Warren Village. The house has since burned.
Now, does your mother take, is this the swimming hole you were talking about?
No. That's a picture my mother took.
Ooh.
Right out in front of the house here.
Is that you?
No. I never drove a Stanley steamer. There's another one, the itinerant. But, now, here's the original. Is that one of the covered bridge we had taken from? There's a logging operation. That's one at Parker's, I presume. There's another picture of my mother. There was a cousin, Nora Foley. There's another picture of Warren Village. Well, those are most pictures of Warren Village. That's just history of a piece of land.
The common boundaries.
There's a picture of the mountain before Sugar Bush started in.
Oh, wow.
It was taken in 1946, I think. And there is the new slide we call a new slide, and there's the old slide, I guess.
Now, the old slide was the one where, what was the name? Oh, I can't think. That Earl talked about.
Yeah. The new slide was in 1938, and that's right where the, I think, at Castle Rock, one of those trails. And there's the scene looking north from the Four Corners here.
Uh-huh.
In 1946.
Who took these?
Thelma Ricketts had some guest that came up.
They're nice.
I had a bad time here, and they all told me I was crazy, but I did manage to. There's a picture. I got the picture somewhere here of Willis Bragg, Judge Bragg, skiing at the Warren Ski.
Ski at the toe.
Mm-hmm. So this is all related.
You're gonna curse me when I leave with this mess. Getting it all out. Well, this is great for me.
This I got from Soil Conservation Service. I got one that's got some marks on it. It makes more sense. That's the history of the Warren United Church, if it means anything. Here's a couple of pictures that Alan Tinker copied. He had on his back porch, he had a chair like that, and so I showed him a picture that was in color.
Uh-huh. Chair parade. Yeah, that was the chair that he bought with the house that he had to leave out.
Here's an aerial photo that shows where the ski tool went. Here's the original.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
There's something that got sneaked into. I don't know how it happened.
I use antique equipment because I'm an antique farmer. What?
Another enlargement of the
stuff. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's the same.
Another place where the ski tow was. I kept that under wraps for quite a while, but everybody is dead now that was involved in it.
The yellow painted hack?
Yeah.
This is what you were telling me about.
Yeah.
One Sunday morning early, Buddy Egan. Biddy Egan and Alvin Foley.
Yeah. Walt Vredenberg, old Tom, and his dog Jack.
A friend of theirs.
From Haverhill. The Nobby Wilson April.
All went out riding in the yellow painted hack. Chorus. Then it's, woe me dandy, go along Napoleon. He is the...
pacer. He is a pacer, the funniest on the track. He can pace to 40, I think it's drawing Wilson April's hack, is that it?
Yes, that's right. The road was rough and muddy, and Biddy corked quite ruddy, and Biddy looked quite ruddy, as Alvin, Walt, and Thomas, for whiskey had no lack.
Tom Egan, that was Biddy Egan's father, or husband, I mean.
For whiskey had no lack. The Reverend, he is something, as though his friends beguiling, as something they went riding in the yellow painted hack, as they drove to neighbor Estes to see his goodbye Charlie.
Good boy Charlie.
And have him hitch
the ponies
while they all went out back to
trample down the clover and look the schoolhouse over. And they all
ride home together in the yellow painted hat.
That was this East Warren schoolhouse. There was some question about when they built it up. As there always is, somebody skimmed off a little.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what you were telling me, yeah. And then, this is great. Who did you tell me made this up?
There was Art Hartshorn, which was I think he was brother to Frank, I think.
Uh-huh.
And this McAllister, Jesse McAllister, and there were two or three others involved in this thing. They had several little ditties.
Earl made up some ditties too, I think.
Yeah, you might have. I think he was able to.
They looked the schoolhouse over and sweetly talked together till someone said, no matter, to funds we have no lack.
It cost them $1,100 to build that building. They overspent their budget by $100. I think they.
We will build another story before his hair gets hoary, and raising up to glory. Raise house up to glory?
Yeah, I guess so.
In the yellow painted hack. We work hard to pay our taxes while others grind their axes, but if their hold relaxes, we will get our money back. 10,000 feet of lumber or more has gone to thunder. It's gone to my old plunder. Buy old plunder. Like the yellow painted hat.
I see Wilson Averill was on the school board that when they built that schoolhouse, and it was the yellow painted hack was his buggy.
But Albert thinks it's funny. As long as he has money, he went up to see old Biddy
Egan
to get his good dog Jack. He at the door did meet her. He asked to see good Peter. Who's Peter?
That must be Moriarty. Lives in the next house over.
but did not kindly greet her in the yellow painted hack. Some say the row is ended, but it is extended. But if it is extended and Biddy is defended, we think 'twill have the track.
It'll clear the track.
Clear the track. For the Reverend Pig is broken. Reverend's leg is broken.
Yeah.
And then is left no token of losing
of loving words
once spoken in the yellow painted hack. Biddy, she is waiting while Albert, he is sweating.
Oh, yes, so.
Eaton, Heath. What?
Eat Heath and Martin. Eat Heath was. Did you tell me about somebody making baskets?
Oh, right. Yes.
I think that's
exactly right, yeah. Eaton, Heath, and Martin are filling up on Jack. That's whiskey, what?
Yeah, I assume that it, or some derivation of it.
The people are hurried, and the jury, they are worried for fear the case will settle in the yellow painted hack.
There's more to that. If I knew the rest of the,
there's
more background. But I never was privy to all of it, and some of it I've forgotten.
When was this written?
Well, the schoolhouse was built in 1896, I think.
And who wrote this down, your mother?
My mother copied off something.
Oh, that's wonderful. Biddy broke her ankle, and Esty's dog is dead.
Esty was lived right on the corner there, but I think he was a preacher.
And Wallace married Nellie's as soon as she got back.
I've heard him tell the story that this Wallace Esty, this Nellie, she was had some to do with the church, whether she was a daughter or the wife of one of the ministers. I don't know. She came there anyway, and she sang in the choir, and it seems that I think it was Foley, and it might have been Esty. That they went to church in the had an evening session. She sang. This fellow was getting himself all in the mood to go to church and receive religion and any other thing he could get. And he sat up in the back. And after she had sung, said, "Sing, Nellie, sing. I like to hear you."
So that was Wallace?
I don't know if it was Wallace or not. I thought it was one of the Foleys, but it might have been Wallace.
And Wallace married Nellie's as soon as she got back. They think they are right in clover.
Yeah.
And have Mom just over. And
my mother's writing is...
They think they are right in
clover, and the honeymoon just over.
They took their wedding journey in the yellow painted hack. They had a wedding supper of oysters, beans, and ginger, of coffee, wine, and adder?
Cider.
Minced pies and hardtack.
They whooped it up till morning.
They left just at the dawning, and all rode home together in the yellow painted hack. Then Davis from the College of Scientific Knowledge.
Now you're getting into the row in Warren that the Lovetts. This Davis was came in as a man school teacher, and Lovett's daughter was going to school, and they became very attracted to each other. That they discussed John and Ellen. And he goes on to tell the whole story.
With all the lovely ladies for flirting had great knack.
Yeah.
You ought to hear the, no.
I heard the yelling.
Buzzle, John, and Ellen as Redsford.
He was a minister.
As Redsford drove for
Godfrey
in the yellow painted hack. They gave them a reception, 'twas grand beyond conception. The Bucksaw Orchestra was there. It was Art Hartshorne and
Just Mike.
The music, it was thrilling, and Noah came near spilling. If her lovely ladies,
them writing
in the yellow painted hack.
You see, Art Hartshorne and Jess McAllister were the ones I was telling you that were involved along with some others. But
and that actually took part in writing this, what?
They might not have written that, and they might have.
We hope their trouble is ended and the difference is mended for Davis and his better half to Essex have gone back. May all their troubles brighten, their future prospects lighten, as onward they go riding in the yellow painted hack. This was written in the late 1890s, supposedly by Art Hartshorne, Jesse McAllister, and Jesse Greenslip.
Yeah.
The schoolhouse mentioned was built in 1895 at East Warren
Corner.
The one now in use, 1962. Gosh, now are these all songs your mother wrote?
Yeah, she wrote them down.
Them down?
There's another one somewhere, the Riot and Warren. It tells about, she copies those from something too. These had nothing to do, I think that's just something she wrote down to.
Yeah, maybe that she was interested in.
It's her writing, I think. And no, I'm not sure it is either.
Quotations.
Well, I'm boring you with all my...
No, I find this... and you know, the thing is that these songs and stuff, I mean, they're fascinating, I think, for the stories they tell.
Margaret MacArthur was through here, and she got hold of that somewhere.
Uh-huh.
As I say, we had control of that for time. And Ruth Kodak got it, and we sort of protected it and kept it from until everybody was dead and gone that was involved in it. Somewhere there's a Riot and Warren that goes with it. I don't know if it's in the same book or not.
I was just looking here. This is, I think, the story of the Holy Grail.
Yeah. Those are some things she copied that.
Names of authors. John Greenleaf Whittier. These must be songs she liked. Quotations. Oh. Vermont. The Wreck of the Hesperus. I'll be darned. Quotations.
Things that sort of attracted her
attention.
I can see myself in a lot the same situation, however I'm attracted by different foods.
Yeah. The yellow painted hat. The captain's daughter.
I don't think that has anything to do with
it. We were crowded in the cabin.
There's another point apparently.
That she liked.
Someone is Riot and Warren. It was the same one or not.
The old squire, 1816.
Well, he
is that here?
No, this old squire was a announcer from radio. You must have seen the works of the old squire.
Autographs. These must be autograph rhymes. A Riot in Warren.
Yep.
As I come before the people with a story which I will tell of a damsel fair and pretty, and a man that loved her well. She played with his affections, but her love she did not give. Then she left him quite heartbroken, and he little cared to live. Then he lingered sad and weary on this earth for many a day, till consumption fastened on him, and from earth he passed away. Then this damsel smiled so sweetly and looked for other hearts to break. Cold and cruel and inhuman, she for meanness took the cake. Who is this?
Well, not quite sure here.
Then young Buck Bickford came to Warren to keep the school of number 2. She was smitten. He didn't love her. Then she knew not what to do. Now I will change my humble story and tell of a riot that occurred in this same quiet, peaceful valley, and I'll tell it word for word.
Now this Bickford was a minister that came in here to preach in East Warren's church. And there was a church here in East Warren, as we get pictures of it. And then, apparently then they jumped to a different subject.
Then young Davis came from Essex.
Yeah, that's, okay, there we go again.
The school of number 2 to keep.
And this was number 2 school.
And then something about Edith. He fell in love with Grace.
Now, Grace and Edith were the John Lovett's daughters.
Uh-huh. Not?
Sister to his Fremont that I was.
Okay, so he fell in love with Grace, not Edith. Then Edith, in jealousy, did weep. When her parents found out the racket, they saved and swore and tore around, bound that she should grow up.
Give up Davis.
Right then and there, and marry Brown.
Well, she did marry Brown, and I remember she has. Edith has several grandchildren. Now, the one she had a daughter, Annis, that married
Well, she must have been pretty young. I mean, she must have been, 15 or so at this point?
I suspect she's a little older than Grace, but I wouldn't say for sure. In following up to history or the story of it, Grace didn't live with Davis too long.
Did they end up by getting married?
Oh yeah, they were married. They moved to Essex, but she lost her mind.
Ooh.
Became crazy, and she was in Waterbury Hospital for years.
Grace.
Yes.
Because it says here, Grace refused to do their bidding, saying she did not love Brown, but she should stand by Davis and go with him to Essex Town. Then they raised a bigger racket, took their children out of school. Grace they locked up quite securely. Davis they called a worthless fool. Then Grace watched her chances and away from there did flee, closely followed by old Ellen. Is that her mother?
Yeah.
Down
John and Ellen.
Down to school, her Frank to see. Then old Ellen went to raving around the schoolhouse, round and round, sent for Eldridge and for Averill. Then she called on Edgar Town.
Edgar Town's a neighbor, lived up at the top of the hill.
But they all refused to help her, knowing that her cause was bad. All their sympathy was given to poor Grace and her brave lad. Then Ellen started homeward, raving, howling, cursing wild, sent good Luna.
That's another.
Daughter?
That's another daughter, yeah.
Sent good Luna to the mountain for John to come and get his child.
John was probably cutting wood up on the, what was a mountain lot up on the mountain. Luna was a younger daughter, a little older than my mother. I've heard her tell about it.
Then Sponge, old Spong?
Sponge, they called him. He was a minister.
Then Sponge, old Spong, they called him, came out from his lair where they're
swearing, cursing, and fighting.
Tearing dresses, pulling hair. There, this good old
Advent Christian.
Now, I think Earl talks about this Advent Christian who preached in the church for a year. Is that right?
I think so. I'm not quite sure what he said, but who he was referring to. But it sounds like it might be
Earl. Used to like to go for the entertainment. There, this good old Advent Christian. Hooked above...
Howled.
Howled above the awful din.
Hallelujah. Smash the door down.
Bring out the worthless cuss of sin. Then Sponge set them on the harder, on the...
Set them on the harder. Telling them just what to do.
Saying, we are Advents. We're Christians. Tear the house down. Let's go through. For we know we are God's people and we can do most anything. Lie and steal and cheat our neighbors and it will not be no sin. But they fought a little longer. Then they quit it one by one. Patched it up, shook hands together, sweetly smiling, all went home. But one more thing in conclusion, and I truly think it is so, that if Advents go to heaven, it's a place I don't want to go. Of or if I ever see that kingdom. For if I ever see that kingdom and meet old Ellen face to face, I will hastily pack my bundle and leave that land in vile disgrace. This was written about 1896 or 7. It is thought
Jules Severy,
Jesse Greenslit, and Art Hartshorne were the authors. The John and Ellen were Mr. and Mrs.
Lovett. And the daughter was?
The daughter, Luna. Edith Grace and Luna. Old Sponge was Mr.
Rickford. Pretended to be a minister.
So is that the Advent minister?
I expect it was.
That's great.
My mother tells the story that she went to one of the Wednesday night Vesper services, I think it was, and there was a lady down here, Ida Brown. I remember her. Maybe Earl has mentioned her. She was... I guess she probably had lost some of her marbles, as they would say. She stayed home to... I should have built up more fire. You're freezing to...
No!
And she was attracted to the minister.
The same Advent?
This was probably one later. In fact, I've heard this story from both sides. He was, at one time, the Montpelier Seminary, Vermont College, or Norwich University, Vermont College now. And I went up there when he was boarding high school in the early 30s. And the story went then that, and I think the Boston Theological Seminary grew out of the Methodist seed sold up here in Montpelier. But anyhow, they for a time they did a theological seminary or assisted ministers who had that, or young fellows who had that thought. And he came from up there, and I heard the story from that end too. He came out here and preached, and Ida was very much taken by him, and so she got up in a, it was a common thing for them to get up in church and tell of their thoughts and their expressions and their feelings. So she got up, and he claimed he didn't hear it. My mother was there, so she heard the whole thing. She sat a little farther back, had a ringside seat, you might say. And she got up and she told him that the Lord had told her that he had been sent to be her husband. That every time she opened the Bible, she could see his face. And she insisted that